I invite you to find in the Old Testament the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37. And we're going to listen together to the first 14 verses, Ezekiel chapter 37. The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "Sovereign Lord, you alone know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.' This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones: I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord." So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, 'This is what the Sovereign Lord says: Come, breathe, or come breath from the four winds, and breathe into these slain, that they may live.'" So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, "Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, 'Our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off.' Therefore prophesy and say to them, 'This is what the Sovereign Lord says: My people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So I invite you to turn in your Bibles to the New Testament, to the Gospel of John, chapter 11. And as we read this passage, and particularly as it talks about how Jesus feels toward Lazarus and Martha and Mary, I invite you just to sort of put your own name in there and imagine yourself in this story, in this episode in Jesus' ministry. "Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sister sent word to Jesus, 'Lord, the one you love is sick.' When he heard this, Jesus said, 'This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it.' Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. And then he said to his disciples, 'Let us go back to Judea.' 'But Rabbi,' they said, 'a short while ago the Jews there tried to stone you, and yet you are going back?' Jesus answered, 'Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk in the daytime will not stumble, for they see by this world's light. It is when people walk at night that they stumble, for they have no light.' After he had said this, he went on to tell them, 'Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going to wake him up.' His disciples replied, 'Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better.' Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, 'Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him.' Ben Thomas, also known as Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us also go, so that we may die with him." On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Mary and Martha to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she told him. "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who was to come into the world." After she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here," she said, "and is asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days." Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Pray with me. God, we thank you for the truth of your word. And we thank you that you speak to us powerfully through it by your Spirit. And we pray that in these moments your Holy Spirit would be our teacher. And we invite you to change us. We invite you to transform us through your word so that more and more who we are and how we live is a reflection of who you are. That more and more the life of Jesus would be visible, would be evident in who we are and in what we do. And so we pray, God, in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. I went to a university that had a church affiliation, and as a part of that church affiliation, we were required to go to chapel services. And so we had to attend so many chapel services over the course of a couple of semesters, and if you didn't do that, you weren't allowed to graduate, so it was pretty important that you show up for chapel on a regular basis. And one time in chapel at my university, they had a fellow come who his specialty, the thing that he did, was he had memorized the entire Gospel of John and would do a dramatic recitation of it. And you would think that hearing the entire Gospel of John proclaimed dramatically would be a riveting experience. And probably that's true, but it wasn't true for me. I may have fallen asleep. I did fall asleep. And so the Gospel of John moves along, and it gets to this point in the Gospel, and it gets to the place where Jesus calls Lazarus out of the tomb. And Sue can tell you that things that don't startle anybody else will startle me. We'll just be watching television in the evening, and there'll be a noise or an explosion or something on television, and I will startle there just watching television. And so at this point in the Gospel of John, when this actor is declaiming the Gospel of John, and he repeats these words of Jesus saying, "Lazarus, come out," he said them in a very dramatic, powerful manner, and I came out of my sleep, and I startled, and the people around me sort of wondered what was going on, and there was a little bit of a disturbance there in chapel, and so everybody around me knew that, you know, I had been sleeping, but now, like Lazarus, I was awake, and so things could move along from there. What I want to encourage you to do as we look this morning at these scriptures is we are tempted in life just to engage the autopilot, just to sort of drift into a kind of waking sleep and to be unaware of the ways that God is working in our world and the ways that God is at work in our own lives. And so I want to encourage you not to do what I did, not to be lulled to sleep, but to be sensitive and to be awake and alert and aware of how God is moving in you and around you. And so we look at this passage in the Gospel of John, and what we've seen is we've seen Jesus encountering different people, and at the climax of all of those encounters that we've looked at, Jesus declares himself in different ways to these different individuals, to Nicodemus, to the woman at the well, to the man born blind. He talks to them, and he reveals himself as the Messiah. And they say, "Oh, okay, now I get it. Now I understand who you are. And I'm able to respond to you with worship, and I'm able to respond to you with devotion, and I'm able to follow you because I know who you are." And in the same way, we come to this passage, we come to this place where Jesus is interacting with Mary and Martha in their grief, and with the ones who have gathered around them, this community that's come to be around them, and he is declaring himself. He's letting them see who he is. He's revealing himself to them. And God is always doing that for you and for me. Jesus is always showing himself to us and saying, "Look, this is who I am. And because of who I am, I'm calling you to follow me. I'm calling you to be in a relationship of discipleship with me where you are imitating me, where my life is flowing through your life." And Jesus does some strange things in this passage. He finds out that Lazarus is sick, and so he stays where he is, and then he decides that he's going to go back to Judea. And his disciples, it's nice to have people who look out for you, isn't it? You know, it's nice to have people who have your best interest at heart. And so they're like, "Well, Jesus, you may have forgotten this. You may have gotten caught up in other things. But the last time that we were down there, they tried to kill you. And so we don't think, you know, we've taken a little survey among ourselves, and we don't think that it's really such a good idea to go back to Judea right now. We're really sad that Lazarus is sick, but gosh, that's kind of the breaks. We would like you to stay up here where it's going to be safe." That's our instinct, isn't it? We crave safety, and we crave security, and we crave knowing what's going to happen. And Jesus is always leading us into what is unknown. Jesus is always leading us to places that we wouldn't necessarily go on our own, that we wouldn't necessarily sign up to head toward. But he leads us to places that are unknown to us, that he knows what's going to happen. And so it's up to us to follow him. And so that is the invitation in this passage for the disciples, is to stay with Jesus, even though they don't know what's coming, even though they are full of anxiety about what might happen. And Thomas always gets a bad rap, doesn't he? I mean, he's associated with doubting. He's associated with a lack of faith. But I love in this passage that Thomas sort of comes into his own. Thomas, you see clearly that here is someone who is absolutely committed to Jesus. He's absolutely just devoted to him. And so he says to the rest of them, he says, look, even if Jesus is going to die, even if he's on this collision with the Jewish authorities, we need to be where he is. You know, so let's go too. Even if we, you know, even if we're going to die with him, we're going to stick with Jesus. And so Thomas becomes for us not an example of a lack of faith, but really a model of faith for us, that even though we may be anxious and even though we may have doubts about where God is taking us in life, we need to stick with Jesus no matter what. We need to be prepared to follow him even though we don't know where he is going, even though we don't know where we're being led. We trust the one who is leading us. We depend on the one whom we are following. And so Jesus gets to Bethany, and he finds out that Lazarus has been dead long enough that he's been in the tomb for 4 days. And it was a Jewish practice to do burials pretty speedily after the death of someone. And so Lazarus has been in the tomb for 4 days, and he begins to talk with Martha and with Mary. And he's talking with Martha, and she, you can just hear the pathos in her voice. You can just hear the grief in her words, where she says, you know, Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And there's that sense, there's that awareness that death can't survive in the presence of Jesus. That in the presence of Jesus, death has no power. Sickness has no grip in the presence of Jesus. And so she says, you know, Lord, if you had been here, I know that my brother would not have died, but I know even now that whatever you ask, God will give you. And so Jesus declares to her, he says, your brother is going to live again. And Martha's response is the response of a good, faithful Jew. She says, look, you know, I know that at the last day, when God raises everyone to life, that my brother's going to live again. You know, and you can tell that Mary and Martha and Lazarus were part of the group of people in this time known as Pharisees, because they believed in a resurrection. They're thinking about the place in the book of Daniel where Daniel prophesies, and he says that, you know, a time is coming when God will raise all people, the good and the bad, and everyone will stand before God, and some will go away to blessedness, and some will go away to a place where the presence of God is not. And so they were different than the Sadducees. The way that we kept track of this in my New Testament class was we would say that they were sad, you see, because they didn't believe in the resurrection. But Mary and Martha and Lazarus, they are believers in the resurrection. And so Martha says, you know, I know, Lord, that when that last day comes, when God raises everyone, that my brother is going to stand then. And Jesus says these incredible words to her. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. And so for you and for me, we know that our hope is not grounded just in some general belief that a day is coming, and it is coming, when God will raise all people to life. But our hope is in the person of Jesus. Jesus doesn't just say there is a resurrection. Jesus doesn't just say there is a day coming when everyone will be raised to life and there will be that great moment. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and I am the life. And if you live and if you believe in me, then I become your life. And the life that's in me never dies. The life that's in me will sustain you in eternal life. And so that is the good news of the gospel of Jesus, that our hope is grounded not just in a generic belief, as important as that is, but our hope is grounded in Jesus and in his own description of himself when he says, I am the resurrection and the life. And so when we find it hard to hope, when we are like Ezekiel in that valley of dry bones and everything around us looks dead, everything around us smells like decay, and everything that we can see looks hopeless, I invite you to hear those words of Jesus where he says, I am the resurrection and the life. And to find hope in him, in his power, in his transcendence over death. And Jesus doesn't offer Martha just a hope for the future. Jesus offers her a hope right now. And that's what you and I have become inheritors of through Jesus, that our hope is not just for after we die, that our hope is not just when this life is over, things are going to be better. But our hope and our reality, our present experience, is that God is living and active in our world today. That Jesus is the resurrection now. And that even in our experience, even in our lives and all around us, he is bringing life from death. He is bringing hope from despair. He is bringing new life where it didn't seem possible. And we see in this passage the incredible compassion of Jesus over and over again as he sees these people around him immersed in grief. Jesus is moved and he shares their pain and he shares their grief. And this too is the good news of the gospel. That God is not unmoved by your pain, that when you hurt, when you despair, when you grieve, that God grieves with you. That the heart of God knows what it is like to hurt. And so when we are in pain, when we are in grief, God enters into our pain to share it with us and to redeem it with God's own presence. Isn't that incredible? Because all too often what we are presented with is some God who is so detached that God can't imagine what it's like to hurt and to feel pain and to feel loss. But here we see Jesus. And we see him weeping and we see him mourning and we see him grieving, and we know this is one who can be with us at those very lowest moments of our own lives. And by being with us, who can redeem those moments. And so Jesus is greater even than death, even than decay. He has them roll away the stone and he calls Lazarus out of the grave. And you can imagine Lazarus, and he's still covered in all this stuff that they've wrapped him up in, and he's got this cloth over his face. And we all need community to help us to embrace resurrection. And so Jesus doesn't just leave Lazarus there with these trappings of death and decay still around him. He reconnects him with that community that has been grieving for him and that's now rejoicing. And he says to them, he says, you need to take the grave clothes off of him. You need to finish that process of letting him go so that he can resume his life in community with you. And you and I know people who have been laid low by grief. And Jesus says to you and to me, look, you can help them unwrap from that pain. You can help them come out fully from under that shadow. You can be the ones who will touch them with my love and with my compassion, and who will help them to hope in me again. And so Jesus says to us, you let him go. You untie her. You help them walk again in the light. We have a bowl of flowers that's out on our back porch, and it's been there for a number of weeks now, and it has snowed on these flowers. It has rained on these flowers. It has been desperately cold. And I don't know what it is about these flowers, but they're not quitting. They are continuing to bloom. They are continuing to be full of color and life. And you may be saying in your spirit this morning, it's been a long winter. And it has been cold and it has been hard. But I want to say to you that in Jesus, there is vibrant life. And in him, there is hope. And in him, there is resurrection. Amen.